This show is sponsored by Sevi, answering all your commercial real estate needs. Sevi is the first commercial real estate company committed to the four C's: commercial real estate, community, content, and culture. Go visit Sevi at Sevi, S-E-V-I, properties.com. Again, SeviProperties.com. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the DMV Business Show. I'm your host, Odo Sevilla. And today I have a very special guest for you. We have Carla Goicoechea. Carla is the owner of Masterpiece Beauty Academy. Welcome to the show, Carla.
Thank you for having me, Odo. I am very excited to be here and look forward to our conversation.
Oh, the pleasure is all mine. Thank you. Before we get started into the business journey, I like to get the audience to get to know the business and you personally a little bit better. So for those who are watching or hearing this and they haven't heard of Masterpiece Beauty Academy, if you can just give us just a brief general overview as far as what you do.
Absolutely. So Masterpiece Beauty Academy is a vocational training center. It is fairly new. It's been open for just a few years. But what we do is we offer training and certification programs and courses about microblading and eyelash extensions. Microblading offers solutions for people that want to enhance their appearance, that want to enhance their eyebrows with permanent makeup. And eyelash extensions does the same thing for people that just want to enhance their overall look and, you know, their lashes. And of course, by getting those services done, you just wake up almost ready to go and you don't have to spend a lot of time getting ready in the morning.
Oh, it's easy. So
now, I'm sorry, I have been doing that for quite a few, more than 10 years now. And I recently started teaching them. I'm a certified educator in both techniques.
Oh, nice. Do you prefer more, I guess, doing the work and working with the customer client or more the teaching aspects of things?
It's very difficult to pick one because, as a matter of fact, people ask me, now that you're teaching, do you still see clients? Actually, I still do. One, because every new client, it's a different learning experience. Every new client has a different skin type, a different skin tone, a different need, let's say. And every new client is a new learning experience. And it's obviously something that helps me gain more knowledge too, even though I have a lot of experience in it already. So yes, of course, besides the fact that I get to connect to amazing people like Anna and Eliza, we have a lot of friends in common too, and just getting to know amazing women that do different things in the area or in the country, it's very fulfilling. So I don't think I'm going to give that up ever.
Yeah.
Also with, and that's as far as the actual permanent makeup side, as far as the eyelash extensions, because this is a service that requires maintenance. I see clients every 2 or 3 weeks, and right now my schedule doesn't allow me to take on any new clients, but I keep my regulars. And I actually love this particular technique because it has allowed me to, again, meet amazing women that now are like family to me, you know?
Yeah.
And I just love seeing them sharing, you know, we have been together for so long and just sharing parts of our lives and our journeys is super, super amazing and fulfilling. A lot of their histories are also super humbling for me too. So, you know, I just love learning, you know, always. And so learning about them and from them is a great experience. But at the same time, you know, teaching is just a different experience overall. It's like a different monster, let's say, because your students come to you eager to learn and eager to start a new career or better their career. And seeing them with those sparkly eyes, you know, they're dreaming, they have all these plans, and then they're counting on you to guide them through the learning journey. There's nothing compared to that. And then when they actually absorb everything that you're telling them and they're asking all the right questions and even thinking ahead of the game. And of course, when they graduate, there's just nothing that compares to that. I really enjoy. I enjoy both. It's just a different thing, you know?
Yeah. It sounds like you have the best of both worlds there.
I think I do. Yes.
it reminds me a lot of this salon client that I have on Rockville Pike there. And she started off, you know, doing it all herself, grew her team. And now she's transitioned to a point as just like you, she's no longer taking any new clients, but she has her established clientele. And then now she's just focused on teaching what she does and growing her team there and growing their right. business, helping them out. Yeah.
Well, yeah, you'll get to a certain point in your career when you have obtained such an amount of knowledge that you're like, okay, now what do I do with all this knowledge? You know, like there's so, and of course you start seeing the newer artists, right? And you see that you can help, that what the experience that you have can help them. And if it's in you, of course, that's what you do. Then you help others by sharing what you have already learned and experienced.
Yeah, that's great.
Super amazing.
So Carly, are you originally from the DMV area here?
I am not. I was born and raised in Peru, in Lima, Peru, and moved to America with my family in the year 2000.
Okay.
So I have been here for almost 24 years now.
Okay. Yeah. So you've been a long time in this area.
Yeah. More than all that amount that I spend in Peru. Yes. Yes.
So sure. When you came over here to Peru, were you still a child, a young adult, or?
Oh, I was 18. I was 18 when I came here. So I had just finished high school in Peru and I was transitioning into, you know, starting a career in business in a university in Lima. But so my dad's family, they actually had been here in America since the early 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And my father was one of the only ones left in Peru. Actually, by the time we moved here, he was the only one left there. So there was a change in his job. And that's when his family here were like, okay, well, this is your chance. You know, it's now or never. Everybody's here. You're the last one in Peru. What are you waiting for? Think of your family, your kids. Da, da, da. And that's how we ended up here.
So you grew up most of your childhood and I guess teenage years in Lima, you said. So if I can take you for a moment back then growing up in Lima, like, you know, what were you into? What did you like?
Let's see. I had a pretty good life in Lima. I had a pretty good childhood. I went to a great school, which I loved. The experience, my high school experience was actually a good one. Thank God, I'm lucky. It was a Catholic school, so we were very into charity activities and events, into helping each other. Every week we would practice like a moral value. And we, most of my longtime friends and I are from back then. And even though they're all over the world now, we have this strong friendship and connection that time and distance hasn't, allowed it to disappear. But even though I did well in my academics, I always had this particular love for art, anything that had to do with art, with drawing, with creating, with dancing, painting. Mm-hmm. I was very into that my whole life. I liked everything and anything that had to do with creating something. Let's put it together. Let's paint it. Let's make it pretty. Let's make it nicer. So
when you were in high school in Peru, were you thinking of possibly going sort of the artistic creative route, or were you thinking of something totally different?
No, I wanted to learn or have a career in business. That's what I had in my mind. Business or maybe computer science. As a matter of fact, when I migrated, when I came to America, I got into college and I was studying international business. And then little by little, one thing led to the other. So if you had asked me 20 years ago, you know, what is it that you want to do with your life? It was nothing related to what I'm doing right now. Absolutely nothing. It's just crazy how life takes you in different ways and different paths. And you have a plan, and it's good to have plans and it's good to have goals. But my goodness, God's plans are just way better and nicer.
Well, you're doing business now and you're doing it in a creative field, an artistic way, you know?
Yeah. At the end of the day, I am doing, like, right. I have a couple of businesses and I think we're doing well, thank God. But me, I'm more of the creative type, you know?
Yeah.
So when I come to the paperwork, I'll do the paperwork, but I'm not really enjoying the paperwork.
Yes, I completely understand.
But
I was just having a conversation with my wife the other day, who's a CPA and accountant. And she's like, oh, don't forget your books and this and that. I'm just like, that's sort of the last thing in my mind, right?
I'm the same way every time. You see, that's the thing too. It's where I kind of like, I have to admit, accounting was probably the one course when I was taking business that made me say, oh, I don't think I want to do this. Or I don't think I can continue. So every time I actually meet an accountant, I'm like, oh my God, God bless you. Like, you are a genius.
So you were studying here, you said you went in and doing international business, and what happened after?
So as I was going to college, I started working. So I got different, I had different jobs, always in customer service, which is one thing that I also always encourage people or young generations to do is, you know, if you're going to have some type of job, have a job in some type of customer service, because that will allow you to really meet different types of personalities and deal with them, you know, and no matter what, especially when you work at a front desk, for example. And that's when my journey in the beauty industry started, back in 2005. I started working as a front desk person at a hair salon, and it was definitely life changing. It was a great experience, but we had 30 stylists at this hair salon. So
was
a lot to handle. So 30 stylists, all from different backgrounds, all different ages, and 30 different personalities. So you can imagine how much of a learning experience that was. But it was great. I got to meet people that, I'm still in touch with. I got to learn a lot about the industry. So that's how I started. I started as a receptionist. Then I became assistant. I have managed a couple salons and spas in the area. And then in 2019, 2020, actually during COVID is when I decided to go on my own.
I love that. Was this always here in this area, or where was it as far as, you know, you're okay.
Actually, I've always been in Rockville. That's why I love Rockville so much. I mean, when we came first to America, my family was living here already. And I've always been in this area. I went to Montgomery College here in Rockville. And yeah, I'm always here.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's a good Peruvian community in this area. I grew up in D.C. Great. And then I moved to Maryland for high school, but always here in this area. And one of my good friends I still remember was also from Lima, growing up in childhood in D.C. And actually, recently, I was just texting a restaurant. I don't know if you've heard. If not, please check it out. It's Peruvian, Barra Brava.
Yes, of course. Of course, I know. And I see how they keep growing, which I love. Love that.
I put them in their new location in Burnsville. They did a fantastic job there.
I'm glad to hear.
Yeah. But as I was saying, there's a great, a big community here, Peruvian and nationals. And so you landed in Rockville, and you said in 2020, during COVID, is when you decided to take that big leap and open the business.
And be on my own. Yes. Because up until then, I was working for other companies. But it was great. I mean, I learned a lot and doing different positions in the industry, because at some point, obviously, I transitioned from being an office manager to doing just services back in 2011. So being or holding different positions has allowed me to get like a very extensive knowledge of how the business works. And finally, then I think this is my chance. It's kind of like now or never. I was nervous, but kind of numbed myself to the process. And I was just like, let's just go with the flow, literally, and see what happens. And luckily it worked out. And
I love that, because, you know, during that time, and actually during COVID is when I started this show, the DMV Business Show.
There you go.
And I'm sure a lot of people started businesses, and some of them, of course, still running successful. Some of them, unfortunately, not. But that's a big leap, especially during uncertain times, like when we had the virus. What made you, Carla, I guess, decide, be like, you know what, a lot of people, you're hearing all this negative talk in the news and all this stuff about the economy and the virus, but what made you decide to finally move forward during this time in 2020?
Well, it was definitely time. As a matter of fact, I just realized that I think I wanted to work on my own and work and do things my way. Pretty much that was it. I mean, you know, like I said, even right before COVID, I was working somewhere else and it was great. And I would have clients asking me, you know, do you think you'll ever go on your own? And I would be like, no. So that's why now when somebody asks, I'm like, you know what? I really don't know. I don't want to say no, because then that's exactly what I'm going to be doing. And I really don't know. I'm open to, you know, any opportunities. I think more than anything, I was just ready to work on my own and manage my business my own way. Sure. And that's what made me take the step and take that leap of faith. And like I don't know if it's going to sound bad to say, but I kind of took advantage of the chaos, mm-hmm. you know, and say, okay, if it doesn't work out, well, nothing is working out right now in the world. So, and I'll just try something else. But if it doesn't, you know, great.
But from the sounds of it, you were talking to a client there. So you were already sort of doing this and applying this trade, right? It was.
Oh, yes. I was already doing these services, and I already had plans of getting into the teaching part of it.
Okay.
That has been in my mind for a long time now, because I really like teaching. So I also feel like by taking this step of going on my own is what really helped me get into the teaching part too. Maybe if I had stayed where I was, then that wouldn't have never happened. So
did you notice in this area, were there people doing much of that or not really, as far as the teaching part of things?
Yes, there's actually, I think, quite a great group of people that are educating. I just don't know really how much experience everyone has, mm-hmm. you know. So, from my point of view, I can tell you that, you know, the beauty industry is so large. It's so extensive. There's so many people doing it, but there's also, it's one of the industries that will always survive crisis, because no matter what, just like the food industry, no matter what, you know, no matter what happens in the world, you got to eat and you want to look good or you want to look clean. So the beauty industry is always, and another thing about the beauty industry is that there's always going to be new procedures, something new to learn. I think that's why I also have stayed in this industry, because there's always something new to learn. And like I said, I just love learning, absorbing knowledge, and, you know, so there's always a new procedure that is going to be popular. But what I have to offer, you know, is the experience. Again, I have been in the beauty industry for 19 years now. Wow. That sounds like a long time. And I have been doing what I teach now for, let's see, eyelash extensions for 13 years and microblading for 8 years. So I have acquired a lot of experience, and that's what I like to transmit to my students, not only in the technique, but also how to deal with clients and how to run their business, which is very important, yeah. Which is what I think other institutions don't really offer.
No, I completely agree with you 100% as far as the beauty service industry. I mean, and even just some service industries in all, because I remember during COVID, obviously many businesses suffered. Some of them did very well, but the nail salon, the hair salon, the medical practice, the restaurant, as you mentioned, some of them didn't close or didn't remain as closed as some other businesses that did suffer and unfortunately did have to for a longer extended period of time.
Right. Yeah. So I have been lucky to be able to grow even amidst this madness. And, you know, I think you can tell that we're still dealing with the aftermath of COVID big time. But even with that, I have been lucky to thrive, I guess. Mm-hmm. I wake up every morning at 5 a.m. and I am oriented in the business, checking emails. So, you know, it's a lot of work, as you probably know, too, managing your own business. But it's worth it, because it's yours. It's your baby. It's your pride. And at the end of the day, you're doing something good for society, which is what we need. You know, we can't just be focused on ourselves and our own growth. We have to also help others grow.
Yeah. The great thing, Carly, you mentioned is before going off and opening your own business, you were exposed to different roles in the beauty industry, which I'm sure helped tremendously when starting off the business 4 or so years ago. But how was it? Because obviously you were before in a role of servicing the client, which I know you still do. But now going off on your own, that's a whole different ballgame, right? So when you decided absolutely. To open the business, whether it was looking maybe for space or maybe just you on your own and hiring staff, how was that initial first couple of months, let's say?
Well, they were actually fun because I was looking, believe it or not, I was looking forward to it, right? And it's actually, I'm lucky that it happened. The things happened the way they happened, because if I have to be honest with you, this transition happened about probably 2-3 weeks after COVID started. So we were in quarantine. We, you know, couldn't go anywhere. And if I have to admit, it was the first time that I actually experienced anxiety in my life, being locked in my house. I have never experienced anything like that. And then thinking back and thinking that there's actually people that unfortunately deal with it on a daily basis, I felt so terrible because I said, this is horrible. Mm-hmm. I have to do something with my life. And so at the same time, I made the decision to be completely on my own. And so then I started looking for places to rent. I started building my website, building my business, doing all the legal paperwork and working more on my Instagram to communicating with the clients that I already had. And of course, looking to get more clients. So that kept me busy and kept me sane, I think, to be honest. So it was great. It was a fun thing to do.
Were you seeing clients at that time when it all started, or was that sort of paused and now you were focusing on building and.
Right. So yeah. When COVID really started, everything had to shut down, as you know. So no, I mean, I stopped seeing my clients. I think my side of the beauty industry wasn't allowed to reopen for 3 months.
Okay.
So during the first month, you know, we're dealing with all the craziness. And then the last 2 months is the time that I had to start the business on my own. So
at least on the bright side, you had that time, like you said, to do all the due diligence and everything.
Which is why what I'm saying, I was lucky and I was blessed that everything just, even though, again, it was crazy and chaos, everything just kind of like lined up and worked out so that mm-hmm. I was actually ready to go when they said, okay, now your side of the industry can actually start taking clients again. You know, we had to wait for the state to announce it. And I had everything ready, thank God, because Amazon became my best friend. You know, ordering from Amazon, all the things that I needed. And so that kept me busy and it was fun. It was a good thing.
That's great. You just mentioned now, Carla, as far as Instagram, and you've done an amazing job in growing your Instagram. How was that in the beginning? You're welcome. How was it in the beginning as far as growing that? Was, you know, I'm sure you did it pre opening your business 3-4 years ago, sure. But I'm sure, does it help your business? How does it work?
Tremendously. It's one thing that I always suggest my students or anybody that is going into a business that will benefit from posting on Instagram. I'm like, do it while it's free. But you just have to be constant, as you know. You know, it's like having a part-time job. Media is, so what people ask me, so what do you do when you're not attending clients, or, you know, I'm not busy with my daughter? I'm like, oh, I'm on social media. I'm on Instagram, editing photos, you know, thinking of what I'm going to post, making reels. I'm doing it all right now. Hopefully in the future, I can just have somebody else do it for me.
Sure.
But at this moment, and especially because I like things done my way, I do it all myself.
So what advice, you know, I'm sure you teach students, so you have your students, whether they're in the beauty service industry or maybe just totally different. What advice would you give them as far as, obviously the algorithm, it all ebbs and flows with Instagram and all the different social media platforms out there. But when you're teaching your students, do you tell them, hey, this is what I would advise, post this, post that, or this time a day or this many times a day? I don't know.
Absolutely. So I have realized that when you actually post kind of during business hours, like let's say 9 to 5, 9 to 6 is when you, and depending on the location too, but it's where you get more activity on your page. At least that's what my reports say. Mm-hmm. And also to if you're going to post something, like I tell my students, is, you know, post your best work, post the best photo that you have of your work or the best video that you have of your work or yourself. Just what you really, really say, this is going to be the winner. That's what you post, and then create you know, an attractive content, you know, and because you're building a network, you know, of people that are looking at your work, looking at your content. Even if the people that are actually looking and liking and commenting are not your clients, when they hear that someone needs your services, they're going to say, oh, just like what happened with Anna and Elisa. Oh, you know, yes, I didn't get my, which have, it's amazing. You have no idea how many times I've had people coming to me saying, oh, you know, I heard about you from my cousin. And I'm like, well, did I do her brows? She's like, no, but she looks at your work and she loves it. So, and I'm like, oh my God, that's incredible. Cause I haven't even done the lady, but she's already recommended me, you know?
Yeah.
So it's building a network on social media. It is super fun. Sometimes you spend a lot of time there, but it works. So, and again, it's free.
Yeah.
You know, all it takes is time. So that's what I tell my students, or again, anyone in the business that I think could benefit from having their business listed and presented on Instagram. Facebook also helps a lot, especially when it comes to ads and when it comes to building networks, because now that I'm looking to teach or you know, to introduce that part of my business more, I have actually joined some support groups on Facebook when it comes to or about microblading, brows and lashes. And just by commenting, you know, like they ask for advice, and I just by commenting my advices or my opinions, they follow me already. Like, you know, they go to my Facebook page and follow me. They go to my Instagram page and follow me. So my followers have actually increased a lot lately because of the Facebook groups that I have joined and the feedbacks that I'm providing.
And these are just others, I guess, people in Facebook that do what you do, and they're just learning, and then they go and follow you.
Yes. Yeah. Most of the support groups are actually joined and by, you know, like newer artists that are looking for advices. So yeah, it's super cool.
That's great. Since we're on the social media topic, would you say the two you focus mostly, is it Instagram and Facebook, or do you have any others that you like?
I do focus more on Instagram and Facebook, and that's just because of timing. I have tried TikTok, which I know is great. In my opinion, personally, I feel like TikTok gets a little bit too overwhelming because there's just a lot there. I feel like, or maybe it's just because I'm more used to Instagram. With Instagram, I can target more the community that I want to attract. But again, I mean, don't quote me on that. You could see me tomorrow only on TikTok for now. You just never know. You know, you have to adapt. You know what
sure,
I mean?
Sure.
So right now, Instagram and Facebook is what's working for me. I've also lately found out about the importance of having or maintaining your Google page and use it as a social media platform. With updates and stuff, and that has been helping a lot as well. Like, it has increased my just the exposure of my business out there.
I love that we're talking already about marketing. So from a marketing standpoint, Carla, what would you say helps drive the most traffic to your business, whether is the clients serving the clients or just the teaching part of it?
Both.
Okay.
Because I still get clients that tell me, again, you know, I saw your work on social media, or I'm here because my niece saw your work on social media, or, you know, things like that. And same with students, of course. Yeah.
So would you say that 100% of your business is coming through social media?
No, not 100%. It's a great tool, but word of mouth is still, and will always be, in my opinion, the number one marketing tool that you have to exploit. Like, that's always going to be number one, which is why it's important to obviously not only do a good job at what you do, but also set up a good impression, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What would you say you're most proud of so far in your business career?
Proud of?
Yes, proud of.
Everything that I have accomplished so far. I mean, I still have many goals, you know, like it's cool. What drive me every day. Like every time I accomplish something, I'm like, okay, what's next? There's something else to learn. There's something new to do. But I am proud that, I guess I am proud, most proud that where I am right now, it is way better than what I thought it was going to be. I don't know, even last year. You know, last year I had the plan of being here, and I had an idea and a vision, but the results are better. And
that's great.
I am really thankful and lucky that that's how it is.
What do you think was, I guess, the reason, or maybe there was a few reasons that allowed you to surpass that goal and that vision that you had from last year to where you are today?
The reasons?
Yeah, you know, you think maybe you did something a little bit differently that made you pass that where you initially had in mind, or?
I think it's the support that I have. I'm everything, well, not everything, but most of the new visions that I have, I'm doing with two business partners. And so I am here, I am in this office, as you can see, but this is just part of a larger space that we have, which is actually my other business, which is called Paragon Studios. And Paragon Studios, it's like a retail solution for independent beauty professionals. So I'm sorry, not retail, real estate solution for independent beauty professionals. So we're here. I have two business partners that are in their own space here in this office. And we have three spaces available for people that do similar things to what we do and want to rent out the space and run their own business from there. So that's what we're doing now too, on top of, you know, everything else. And it's just the, again, growth is important. It is important for you to grow as a person, for you, for your family, for your close network, but you also have to know that you have to, with what you do, you should help other people grow. And that's what we're about. And I think that's what's helped, because we don't want to do this just for ourselves. We want to help others too.
Sure. That's great. So you're almost renting separate rooms to other artists?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Okay. I understand. So almost like a salon suite type of model.
Correct. Except that we unfortunately are not really built to have, unfortunately, hair services here. But anything on the aesthetic side, like, again, something similar to what I do, eyelash extensions or nails or skincare, Botox, hopefully a massage therapist, we can have those here.
I love that. I have several salon suite clients. So, and I'm in commercial real estate, so I have to ask, your entire space there, how big is it?
Yeah, very good question. I want to say it's 2,300 square feet, I think.
Okay. Okay. That's great.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. What made you decide that area? I know you said I know you're in Rockville and you've been in Rockville the whole life. So was it always like, I need to be in Rockville?
Oh, no, not necessarily. However, when I went on my own, I rented a space in Rockville, close to the highway and with free parking. So I always kept those things in mind. Like, I need to be in an area, one, not too far from where I am, because my clients are already used to coming to this area. Two, it was very important for me to stay close to I-270. And three, important for me to be able to provide, or be able for my clients to have the facility to just have, you know, parking, common free parking, and then they go and they don't have to worry about it. So I actually found, or we found, I'm sorry, this location here in Shady Grove in a medical building, and then it happened and we're here.
That's great. You just mentioned now, as far as your two partners, and I'm sure surrounding yourself and having the right team is important. How do you go about finding whether team members or partners and put them in the right position?
It's paramount to part, and not only in a professional level, right? Always, obviously in the personal level too, it's super important to partner with the right people. One of them I have known my whole life, and we have worked together for years. We even have shared an apartment together when we were younger. So I know her, I trust her blindly, and she's super kind, not only at the talented skincare professional, but she's super kind. We share a lot of clients together. And the other one we met at the previous location that we were working at, we just met her. She's a super, super talented nail artist. And I went to try her first, and coming from working at a salon and a spa for years and seeing and having many different artists do my nails. When she did mine, I was like, wow, you are really, really good at what you do. And we established this friendship. And then little by little, we started building this trust, because, you know, When you work with business partners, and it's not only a personality thing or a talent thing, it's also a money thing, right? You have to be able to trust them with funds and money and things like that. So we had different scenarios or situations that we had to deal with money, and it was fair and it was just and promptly. And that's very important. And we liked her because of that too. So we clicked and we established this friendship that is founded in trust. Not only do we know, or do we trust that, or in our work, like we all know that we provide very, very good work to our clients, but we get along super well. And we just work together so well.
That's great.
Very important.
Yeah. What advice, Carly, would you give someone that was just starting in the beauty service industry today?
To not get discouraged. I do see, remember I was telling you that I had just joined several Facebook groups, so I read a lot of what they're saying. Unfortunately, there's a lot of new artists that are experiencing, for example, in the beauty industry, and a lot of people are going to agree with me, the first week after the holiday, so like the first week of January, usually it tends to slow down. That's just science. It's normal. I love it because guess what I do during that first week? Well, not only do I get to rest a little bit, but I do paperwork, very beloved paperwork, right? And I like go back into my website and make sure that, you know, everything is in order. All the information is there so that I don't have to really worry about it too much for the rest of the year. So that's what I do. But anyway, so I was reading a lot of, for example, eyelash artists or even microblading artists saying, you know, it's so slow right now. This was during the first week of January. And I would go and say, but this is actually normal. Don't worry. Like, they'll come back. Mm-hmm. You know, they just got off the holidays. They're recovering from the partying, the family, the gifts, the expenses. Trust me. And then now going back, they actually reach back out to me and say, oh, my God, you were so right. So anyway, it's just normal that there's going to be seasons that are going to be on and off. There's going to be certain holidays that, which now I actually tell my students, like you can actually plan yourself a little holiday around this one and that one because and that one because your clients are also going to be doing that and you're not going to have a lot of demand. So yeah, I mean, that's what it is.
Okay. What are some habits or traits you feel that you have that have helped you, whether on the business side of things or even just personal life?
I don't know. I'm goal oriented. I like to achieve things, you know. I like to I guess the creative mind never rests. If you have a creative mind and then you are goal oriented, then you're always going to look for the next thing to do and to accomplish and, you know, to help, to contribute. You know, mm-hmm. If you are a person that, again, is not only thinking of their own self-growth, but you're also thinking of how you can contribute to humanity. Of course, my contribution is very little, but if you can do something for other people, why not, you know? And of course, it's also kind of going with the flow too. Like I was telling you, if you had asked me, what was I going to be doing 20 years ago, even 10 years ago, five, I didn't know. I had no idea, but I do know that I like to accomplish things and help others and to set a good example for my daughter too. That's really my main goal.
How old is your daughter?
She's 16 and a half. She'll be 17 this July. She's my only one in my life, and, you know, my most precious thing in the world. And I'm just hoping that I'm setting up a good example for her.
I'm sure she sees. Is she at all involved or help out in the business?
She does, actually. She comes to work every now and then. And so what she does is she takes photos and videos that I'll use later on my Instagram. So she's very good at that. And yeah, she likes it. She likes doing it too.
That's perfect. I have three boys and I always tell my oldest one who's 12, I'm like, he sees some of the stuff I do. And I'm like, his name is Liam. I'm like, Liam, learn in YouTube. There's a ton of stuff you can learn. I'll be more than happy to give you the obviously the content, you work with it, you do your thing, and then you can maybe earn a little bit of money. But right. You know, as you come to see, your daughter's a little older than my oldest son. You can give them advice or something, but in the end, it's up to them to actually take action, just like I'm sure with everyone.
Absolutely, absolutely. But it still, it stays with them, you know? So I actually see her, you know, she's a junior in school. So now it's all about college and she wants to go to college. She wants to, right now she wants to study neurobiology and she's very focused on it. And I love seeing her.
That's great.
Focused as she is. And I'm hoping again that I always pray that I give her the best example that I can.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. Does she want to stay local? Do you know, or does she sort of want to go far away?
Well, it depends. You know, it all depends on the school. I think she has, I think UPenn is one of her choices. I think mm-hmm. she was looking into Tulane as well, which is a little bit further out. But other than that, I think she's more inclined to staying closer to this area.
That's
closer
great.
To
Yeah, of course. Carly, what would you say is your biggest challenge with your role today with the business?
You know, there's challenges everywhere, you know? Mm-hmm. If I have to be completely honest, my biggest challenge is myself because I am my worst critic. I am the one who, you know, I'm my best friend, but I could be my worst enemy if I have a goal and I see that I'm not reaching it. And then I have to like relax and say, okay, you know, you're not getting to where you want to be, but at least you're making progress, which is what I tell everyone that I can all the time. Sometimes I just have to remind myself of the advices that I give other people,
yes.
You know, which I'm sure happens to a lot of us business owners. So it doesn't matter that I'm not getting where I want to be as long as I am making progress. That's all that matters. So for example, you know, if my goal is to have 4 students in a class, but I only get 2, that's okay. I mean, you know, I have 2 students and I'm going to give them my best. And that is progress. 2 is better than none. You know what I mean? So challenges are there. They're everywhere. I mean, the weather could be a challenge when it comes to industries that are in the service. You know, because if it snows, then you have to cancel everybody. You can't go anywhere and therefore you're not making any money. But, you know, the weather could be a challenge. Sometimes a client could be a challenge, but there's always a solution for everything. And again, I think my biggest challenge, if anything, it's me. I tend to be very harsh on myself sometimes. And so then I have to kind of like relax and remind myself, like, look at what you have accomplished. Take it easy, slow down, you know, things happen at the right time. So,
yeah, I completely agree. I think we maybe all business owners suffer through that is you want to do certain things or you know you're capable of so much more, right? But then you're like, come on. And then maybe you see someone else, whether in the same industry, similar industry, maybe not. And you're like, look what they've done. And you're like, what's going on? And then I have to also myself take back and I'm like, you know what? I might be in my chapter 3 in my life and this person is in their chapter 10 and it's not right to compare. And like you said, sometimes I have to look back and say, okay, Otto, where were you a month ago or 6 months ago or a year or 5 years ago? And you're in a much better place typically. And if you're not, it's all temporary anyways.
Right, exactly. And that's another thing that we have to keep in mind is that sometimes, you know, certain things don't work out the way we want to because there's something better out there. You know, let's not see or see the setbacks as failure, but if anything, as a learning experience at the same time as when we see other people maybe at a place where we want to be. Let's just see what they're doing that maybe we can learn from, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, everything is a learning experience and, you know, but again, if you have the will, you have the talent, you have the will and you're doing it for the right reasons, then you're going to get where you want to be. You just have to keep working towards it, appreciate what you're accomplishing the day off and, or in the present day, and then just continue.
Yeah, it's very true. Speaking about setbacks and failures, Did you, what comes to mind as far as any big setback or failure that you had and how you dealt with that?
Any big one that I've had, I don't
Or
know.
maybe
I
the first one
think,
that just comes to mind right now.
I guess when I was pers well, when I was per I wouldn't say I guess I haven't had any major setback or failure in my life, but it's more like when it's time for, when I want to reach something or I want to get somewhere and it's not the right time, so therefore I'm being told no. That's where it gets hard for me, because you know it could be devastating, you know, if you don't know how to take it or how to deal with it, it could be devastating. And then you're like, okay, now I have to wait, either wait for the right moment, or I have to figure out how to do it again. So I really haven't had any major failures or setbacks. But I've had moments where I'm like thinking and reconsidering and saying, is this really for me or not? Like, for example, actually pursuing my titles as an educator with the academy that I represent, which they are based in Europe. It's actually very challenging. It's not that you just tell them, oh, you know, I want to educate, and they say, okay, you want to educate, but you have to show me you're capable of doing it. And that it becomes a race. It becomes a very challenging journey, but it's so rewarding because they really want you to do well. So not only you have to present, not only you have to present your work and have it as a certain level of excellence, but you also have to present yourself in a very professional way, and they have to see that you're building a healthy network. But you know, if you're not up to their standards, they say, no, try again, no, correct this and try again and try again. And so that was pretty, because I was pursuing two titles almost at the same time, the two titles. It was very challenging. I had to travel to different countries to earn my degrees or my titles, and being away from home is always difficult. But yeah, I mean, it was worth it at the end of the day. And again, you know, rejection is redirection, or we shouldn't really even use the word failure. It's just a chance for us to learn how to make things better or which route to go.
Yeah, it's never easy, right? Because if it was, everyone would be doing it.
It's never easy, but you know, at the end of the day, at least what I tell my clients, friends, or colleagues, it's, you know, as long as you're keeping yourself busy, you're keeping your mind creating, that's really the best thing that you can have in your life. Well, obviously you have a family, you're healthy, that those are the most important blessings. I mean, for me, for example, if I have to talk about success in life, you know, I try to find success in like different things in life daily, you know, like if I woke up, that's success right there. If I made it to work safe, that's success right there. Happy client, happy student. But the most important for me is getting home to my family, getting home to a peaceful home. It's the best.
Yeah.
Getting to my family and going to bed, knowing that you did your best and knowing that you're healthy and that everybody's home safe. That to me is the most successful thing in the world. So going back to what you were saying, which I'm sorry, I forgot again. What was the question?
No, I was just asking as far as any biggest challenge. And we were talking about, the requirements for the title, and then, yeah.
Well, yes. Yeah. So anyway, so that's what I wanted to say. At the end of the day, really, as long as you're healthy, that's what I also tell everyone. As long as you're healthy, you can really accomplish anything. It's just a matter of going after it.
What do you know now that you wish you would have known at the start of your business career?
Everything. Everything that I know now, I wish I would have known. But if I had, I mean, would I be the same type of person that I am now? Probably not.
Yeah.
I mean, what happens sometimes is that when we are too young and too successful right away, we lose sight of what really matters in life. Probably not to everyone, but knowing myself, I probably would have. Yes. So I'm actually lucky that everything has happened in my life at the time that it happened, because it's actually allowed me to grow more as a person, as a professional, which is very important at the end of the day. It's your character, you know, your moral values, your core, what you have to share with people. I mean, integrity is everything. At the end of the day, you know, I don't care what happens. That my clients, my friends, my family, my coworkers, they know the type of person that I am. And yeah. To me, that's all that matters.
That's all that matters at the end. That's true.
Yeah. They know what I can do, what I can give, and you know, and that's it. Everything else can like come down in a second around me. I know what I am and I know what I'm capable of doing. And as long as I'm healthy, then I will do what it takes to accomplish and to continue doing beautiful things in life.
Yeah. Coming to an end here soon, Carla, what are you most excited about? What does the future look like for you and the company the next couple of years?
Oh, I am excited about expanding my teaching areas. For example, well, you know, being from Peru and from here, I am bilingual, and I feel like I can reach not only the American market, but also the Latin market, which I love. And I have a class, a lash extension course scheduled in Mexico in March, for example, that I'm very excited to nice. Do. Mexico is such a beautiful country and I love it. I'm looking forward to going to Peru to do the same thing. So I am excited to see the things that I can accomplish with the teaching part of my business. I have, and adding new procedures or new techniques to teach, to have a bigger outreach for my students too. I'm excited to bring in those new techniques and to make of this, of my business, you know, a place where people that are looking to build a career can go to and learn and feel safe and love it as much as I do, hopefully.
I love that you mentioned this, Carla. I myself, just like you, am bilingual as well. And the majority of my clientele are minorities in this area, right? Whether Latino, Asian, Indian, African, whatever it may be. Majority of my clients are minority based. And I've thought about this lately, just because the majority of my content is in English. You know, we live in America, is in English. And I thought about, you know, incorporating Spanish or maybe Spanglish, but not everyone, of course, in my client base speaks Spanish. So do you incorporate Spanish or do you have a separate account and just in Spanish? Just because I've been thinking about this lately myself too.
Yeah. No, I incorporate it because I don't want to think about it. If I had to have, for example,
another account, right? I know more work.
In English, Spanish, forget it. Like I would be completely crazy. Yeah, looking like, no. Luckily, now that's as far as like social media. Luckily for websites, you know, you have the option for your clients to just click on one button and have everything translated, or you have the option to incorporate the language. I feel like, especially now, 20 years ago or 24 years ago, when I first came to America, there wasn't this large of a community here, right? Of a Hispanic community here in this area. So I would have thought differently about this, but now, because you know, there's a lot of Hispanics around, and a lot, even when you think of schools, for example, you know, the schools, when they send you an email about your child, you have the option to read it in Spanish and English. So why not just do that, you know, and adapt to how society is now with dealing with Spanish and English. So I actually try to, when I post something on Instagram, for example, I try to do it in both languages. When I have announcements to make, for example, pretty soon I'm going to make the announcement about the class in Mexico. It's going to go to my main Instagram, but it's going to be in Spanish. And hopefully my followers, my non-Spanish speaking followers, will take it as an opportunity to practice their Spanish. So, you know.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I'm sorry. I embrace both cultures. I love both cultures. Again, I feel one of the luckiest women in the world to be able to to have grown in Peru or lived in Peru the first 18 years of my life and then come here, because it's just, again, it's just so humbling. And to see the difference of two places, I'm just lucky to be able to have that knowledge with me now in my heart.
Sure.
That experience, I mean.
I agree. I think you should be proud of your heritage. So what you do is the written content is in English, and then there's the Spanish version, right?
Yes, even though actually Instagram, I didn't notice, but it's very tiny, right?
There's a translate section.
Option. Yes. It's still do or try to do the captions in both languages, because that helps with the algorithm. So by having those two languages there, it helps you to target people that speak both languages too. So yeah,
sure.
Even when I go on Google, I post in English and every now and then in Spanish. And so, yeah.
As far as your video, if you're speaking, is that typically English or Spanish or?
Typically it is in English, unless I'm trying to target the Hispanic community, then I'll say something in Spanish.
Sure. Okay. That's good to know. So when you're not busy working, of course, and growing the business, what do you like to do for fun in your free time?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. No, I'm kidding. Well, when I'm not with clients, then I am with my daughter. And now that she's older, of course, you know, I can tell. Well, we have a little, let's say, tradition. When I pick her up from school, I take her to school and pick her up every day, which is one of the things that I love about being a business owner, because I can adjust my schedule to fit hers, because she is my main priority. So I take her to school every morning and I pick her up from school every afternoon. And when I pick her up, the first thing we do is we talk about our day. Like, you know, what did she do in school? What happened? And the tea and this and that. It's so much fun. And I tell her about my day too. So when I'm not with clients and I'm not doing anything business related, I'm definitely with her and spending time with her, going to dinner or going to the movies or going here and there. And yeah, I mean, she's going to go to college soon. So I just want to spend as much time as I can with her and just build beautiful memories. I'm also with my family and not a lot of time to see my friends, unfortunately, but we try to stay in touch through Facebook and things like that. But yeah, but if you're talking about like what I enjoy doing nowadays, if I don't have to do anything at all, I'll just watch something on TV. I'll watch a documentary about anything. Murder is always good.
Okay. You like the murder mystery stuff.
Murder mystery. Well, but why? Not so much because of the murder part, but the investigative part. Like in thinking and putting things together.
Yeah.
Or we go from that to watching Christmas movies. So
yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
So that's why, but you know, I can find the fun on almost anything. But my daughter is my main priority. So I just spend a lot of time with her. It's fun to be with her.
Yeah, that's great. I agree. Time is precious. And I see them growing up, and obviously we can't hold time. And I have to say, okay, you need to put more time, just because one day you're going to blink your eye and they're no longer here. They're off somewhere. And
I'm telling you, it's crazy how time flies. It truly is. I mean, when I tell new mothers, I'm like, you really have no idea. And you're going to hear this all the time. But it's really true. Time flies. So enjoy your babies as much as you can.
Carla, if people want to learn more about you and your business, where can they reach out to you, learn some more information, please?
Sure. Well, there's always my Instagram account, which I try to stay very constant on. I'm always posting what I'm doing here in the business. Sometimes I'll post where I go to restaurants and things like that. But there's also my website, which is www.masterpiecebeautyacademy.com, where they can get all the information, all the necessary information about the services that I provide and the trainings that I do. My phone number is also listed on Google, which is, I don't know if I can give it out here.
Yeah, of course, please. You can give everything.
Perfect. It's 240-701-6161. That's my phone number. My email address, which is carla.goicochea@gmail.com. And you guys can reach me anytime, any questions that you have. Even if you're not my student and you have questions about the business, about managing the business or about services, please reach out. I'm always happy to share what I know.
Beautiful. Carla, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I had a great time.
For having me. It's been fun. Has it been an hour? Oh my God, it has.
Yeah, it has. Time flies.
It does when you're having fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Of course. Pleasure's all mine. Take care.
You too. Thank you.